Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and we are positively going back to the future. We've got the 88 symbol on these Maryland Lottery scratch-offs, and we're giving them out. I've given out half my stack here. We're out at Coco's Pub, one of my favorite places. I've already had the coconut shrimp. We have today a very, very special thing, not just to Jamie Costello is here, but I think this is something that maybe will tackle the old Baltimore soul in you that I saw upon your retirement.
Yeah.
Did you ever frequent Burke's Restaurant?
Yes.
Of course you did. You're Jamie Costello.
It was George Ward. George Ward was a photographer. I was a rookie reporter, and in those days, the photographer had to get a lunch. We're into Burke. It was dark. I can still they still have no lights. Anyway, no.
What was romantic is what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was romantic.
And he had a full course meal at Burke's right there in the beautiful corner in downtown.
So as a very young man, as an impressionable 15-year-old working at the News American, we would close the edition and we would walk up to Burke's.
Yeah.
And little Nestor would be there. Maybe 16, maybe 17, maybe 18 when their age was still 21.
Pushing it.
And there would be a frosted Michelob, not ultra, light, Michelob light.
Yeah.
Right on the draft, and they would give you the frosted goblet. Yeah, I felt like it was like a chalice of light beer.
There you go.
Then I would order the crab melt, and it would come perfect with the extra sharp cheddar cheese on the crab melt on the English muffin, perfect French fries, and delicious coleslaw, and a cold beer. Am I making your day?
No, you are making it.
Well, you're in a place where this can happen here at Coco. So for the last 3 years, I've been telling Marcella this, and we're going to get her on later on. And if you want a crab melt, I can make that happen. The crab melt's on special today. Liz will do it up for us, and Eric back in the kitchen. So the last couple years, she has these giant crab cakes here at Coco's. You know about this.
Yeah.
It's not your first time at the rodeo. So they're as big as your head, and I take it home, and I don't know what to do with that big old softball.
Right, right.
So I quarter it. Don't tell her. And sometimes I even fry it up. Don't tell her, because it's heresy to fry crab cake, apparently, in this town. But I got some Bay's English muffins,
and
I took her crab meat, which is really, really similar to the Burke's recipe.
Oh,
I've eaten
wow,
a lot of
no
crab
kidding.
Cakes, Jamie.
All right, yeah.
So I started making these at home about a year, year and a half ago. And I did a whole turn with Pete over at Costas because I've used his crab meat to do it too.
Yeah.
But Marcella's crab meat is identical, really, to the Burke's recipe. So when I eat her crab cake quartered, because I can't put all
Burke's.
That. And so today we are honoring Burke's and Royal Farms, I guess, and Mickey Coachella from the Comedy Club. And we're having crab melts here. And I just wondered if you'd ever had one. You had never had one.
Yes, way back. No, here?
No.
Yeah. But
you've had the
Burke's,
crab cakes here.
Burke's, no.
No. All right, well,
Burke's
today's our
like
day.
Roast beef and gravy and French fry. Oh, man. Yeah,
yes. Yes and yes and yes and yes. And comedy upstairs.
Gravy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was good stuff. Burke's.
How are you?
Good, man. How
last
are you doing?
I saw you, your wife was in glee and gloating for having surprised you with the Naptown band.
Oh, man.
That came, and I see him on a commercial now, the Annapolis commercial, visit Annapolis. I visit Annapolis all the time, see Jamie and everybody else that lives down there. You had a goodbye party last year. Was it a year ago?
A year.
My
June
wife was on crutches. She broke her
that's
ankle.
That's right. Yes.
It was in June that you had your goodbye.
June. That's right.
It's been a year you've been retired?
A year. How about that?
What the hell have you been doing yourself?
Nothing.
Other than nothing.
My wife has put me to work. Yeah.
You going to Costello me about it, or what's going on?
Yeah, she started this company a couple years ago, and she said, you want to come join? I said, okay. And you know what my first gig was? Don Moeller. Don Moeller hired me to do a four-part series on Trade Point Atlantic.
Okay.
And I was off and running.
Okay, there so you we went go. Over to Trade Point. What'd you do over there?
We did the
that's my dad worked there. That's the point, right?
Well, that was the point. And what we did was we a lot of concern about the Sparrows Point container terminal that's coming in.
Uh-huh.
And we just went out there and showed them what's going to happen. It's going to be big. It's going to raise us up to the third, fourth biggest port in America.
We got the tariffs are, you know, I mean, I'm talking about that. We're seeing these ports out in the West Coast that have no cargo coming in.
I just heard 38% down. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
The cargo coming in.
The stories of Baltimore, and I know, man, you always wanted to tell the positive. That's who you are. You're the original. I mean, I do Baltimore Positive, but I'm stealing it from you. I go back to my childhood and yours before you were in television. you saw Marty Bass catching bass.
Yeah.
You saw Dan Roderick's doing Roderick's, you know, on the street doing his thing, right? And then he does his breakfast thing and all of that. You were the next wave of that. Marty's still doing it in the morning, right?
Yes,
but
he is.
Just coming out and doing this, hanging out with Marcy, watching Liz make crab cakes, figuring out how we're doing a crab melt special, seeing what's going on up the street here with Zeke's Coffee, seeing what's going on. Tell me a good neighborhood story. Tell me something that's good that's happening out there. That defines who Jamie Costello is, as I know it.
You know what? Driving up here today, I thought the time when Dan Roderick and I used to have a contest, name it, Bel Air Road or Harford Road. Ready?
Go ahead. All right.
Hacienda.
Bel Air Road.
You sure about that?
100% Bel Air Road. Go ahead.
All right. There was another one. Hold on. Oh, man. Keep going. But we always had that contest, Bel Air Road or Harford Road. Oh, Stella's.
Stella's is Harford Road.
Right.
All right. How about Angelina's?
Harford Road.
Okay. How about Scott Donahue's?
Bel Air Road.
How about the Earl? The good movies and then the... Harford Road. You know how I know that? The late, great Phil Forrester. Did you know Phil Forrester?
Yes, who ran the Hacienda. And then he went out to...
To Pedonia.
Yeah, ran...
Christopher Daniel.
Yeah, before that, though.
Parlay Cafe. All right, so Phil Forrester...
Parlay Cafe used to have colossal shrimp on Monday night. I mean, they were bigger than this table.
Have you ever had a coconut shrimp here at Coco's?
Can they compare?
Yes, I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to get you some coconut shrimp.
Yeah.
So... Phil Forrester would always...
Phil.
I would always go in. I missed the Hacienda.
That guy.
I missed the Hacienda.
Great restaurant. Yes.
Whoever caught it on fire, shame on you. But he would always say, well, you're here for dinner and a movie tonight. And, of course, you know, the Earl across the street was having, you know, some John's
what
Holmes.
A great guy.
Harry Reams double special or something. Jamie is here, and I've dragged you out. I've been trying for 11 months to get you out.
Yeah.
All I see you doing on Facebook is being the husband you wanted to be, the happy retired old fart that you are, and this young old guy with little kids running around playing baseball and t-ball and any kind of ball these kids
want to
play.
I just signed up for my third team to coach this year. So we got an 8-under, I got a t-baller, and then we're going to have a tournament team this summer. Wow. And the kids are getting younger and better. It's scary.
Left-handed, right-handed. What do we got going on?
I got two right-handers.
Do you throw BP? Because I can't throw a party right now.
Yeah, I love it.
Does it hurt?
No, you put a uniform on, you feel like you're 20 again. You run out there. My mentor is Timmy Norris.
Yeah,
love that guy. I always follow what he's saying. I say, Timmy, there you go.
Why Timmy Norris? Because I have
a long history.
Go ahead.
He threw a no-hitter every other day. Remember when he was curly?
Okay.
Every other day, Timmy Norris.
Where'd you grow up? Tell everybody. You went to
Red House Run.
Red House Run, right? I was going to say Little Red Brick. I'm at Red Brick Station next Wednesday.
Oh, so good. All right. There you go.
Little Red Run.
Red House Run.
They built it.
Chesco
Rosedale area, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah,
that's your background,
yeah.
Right? So, I guess getting around this city and finding out who's been where and who goes where and all that. You're 40 years on television. How many did you do?
37.
I was going to say 40, but 37 years.
Yeah.
How do you unplug? Because I've been doing this 35 years now, and I'm not ready to unplug. I'm a little unplugged on the Orioles and the Ravens, to be honest with you.
Well.
Just given my treatment and just given what I'd like to be doing for a living and what I'm doing for a living, which has great value for me. But you serve the community in one capacity, in one way. You're known to everyone as that guy. And then you take that leap to do something else. It feels like you have a lot of life left in you, not just Atlantic stories.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm not even kidding you about this, because 11 months out, I would say now, if you came to me and said, Ness, here's a $1 million bonus, take a little time off, and when you get ready to go work again and do whatever you want to do, and that might be this, it might be sports, it might not, I don't know, lobbying on good causes, doing charity events, all the things, because I had Viviano out, right? Mm-hmm. And Viviano and you were kindred spirits, he's from St. Louis, but you're like
from
here.
I think Viviano's up to be the Pope. I think he's going to be...
No. He's going to be a Little League coach like you. That's all he wanted to talk about.
We do want
to
play.
That's all he wanted to do was talk about Little League, right? And I think for all of... Not us, because I'm still doing this. For you, who did this. And I even said to Viviano, it's like, I feel like I've been on television 35 years because I do all this broadcasting or whatever. Like, you feel like you're never off. Right? I feel like whenever I put Channel 2 on in the morning, you're there. I'm like, does he go home? You know what I mean? Because you were, like, always there.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about local news. I don't know that we'll ever feel that way again or there'll ever be another Jamie Costello. But I think the cold turkey part of, hey, working here anymore. Go home, be with the family. There's a little point where that's great and that's fun for a while, but then there's like, all right, you've got such experience, you should be out telling these stories every day, even if you don't want to be.
Yeah, we just did a story a couple weeks ago. You know, John Scallon used to run at the Baltimore Civic Center, brought the Blast into town.
Okay.
He was the original guy. So he calls and says, I want you to do a story on Let's Eat. Nasty. Catherine Morneau.
Okay.
Army of One gets a van, takes it to Sprouts, takes it to Giant. They're throwing food away. Let's say expiration date tomorrow. Hold on. We'll take that food today, puts it in a box, puts it in the van at 3 o'clock in the morning, ships it over to the Logan, the place down in Dundalk, the villages.
Logan Village?
Yeah.
And I played Little League football
there. And they go right in, they give it to the people, they set up a makeshift grocery store. Nobody knew about it.
Chris Dipnerine's doing this out in West Baltimore, started doing it during COVID.
Unbelievable.
I mean, feeding people seems so fundamental, you know, and in a country where we have such abundance, you know,
right,
and
right.
seeing people
but
be
it's
hungry.
Easy. It's easy to do, and she's doing it. She's incredible. She walked through the senior center. People in wheelchairs got up clapping for her. Yeah, and that's all it is.
Well, that's real hero work. That's the real hero work.
That's right.
But, I mean, as a broadcaster, you went out with a microphone and a camera and a bright light trying to shine light on those stories, you know? And I don't know that that was an edict down at 6400 York Road from the top saying you're going to tell the good stories. It felt like that's who you were and that is the kind of news. Look, you sat here and read murders, read all the bad news, all the same stuff on Fox 45 that gets pushed into that, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. That's never who you were. I don't think you could have worked in that environment. I don't think it's who your soul is.
No,
it's not who you are.
You got to tell the positive stuff. You got to have that you got to tell the – I just got a real nice call today from someone who just landed a job in Tallahassee, Florida, and he wanted some advice on how to find that story. And I went, gee, I love that. Somebody knocking on my door to ask for advice for that. You know what? I'll tell you a good story. Remember, Our Lady of Fatima used to have...
I was confirmed, confirmation, first communion, all my CCD with Mr. Larry. I was talking about that last week with John Allen, that we both went to CCD together with Our Lady of Fatima.
That is great. So well, remember when they had sports night? And
I was there as
Orioles, Colts.
How do you know about this?
My uncle, Uncle John, used to be like a board of director or at Fatima.
What's his last name?
Costello.
Okay, John Costello.
Right.
I'm sure I knew him as a child.
So anyway, he invites me. I'm a young kid to be an MC. Oh, you know, I'll tell you exactly who it was.
Ben Neal was involved. I know he was.
Who was the tight end for the Colts? Pretty good guy. Later years.
Reese McCall.
No, 81, 82.
That's close, though. Reese McCall would have been pretty good.
No, he must.
81, 82. 81, 82 tight end for the Colts. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm there, and I'm giving him holy heck because, you know, hey, I hear you're moving and all that, and he's tired of it all. And guess who's in the audience doing this?
Tim Sherwin? No.
No.
Okay, I'm trying.
Close,
I'm trying.
It may have been.
Go ahead.
Okay,
keep going.
Anyway, so I see this guy sitting in the audience.
Pat Beach. No, wasn't Pat Beach. I'm going through the names. I'm going through all. Go ahead.
Sure. It may have been Timmy.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, anyway.
I got to give a Tim Norris
who's sitting
too.
Out there. And all of a sudden, at the end of the program, he gets up and comes up to me and goes, son, you got a great career ahead of you. And he walks away.
Who was it?
John Steadman.
Steady.
I must have been 19.
What year?
Oh, it was 82, 83.
Okay.
No, 81, 82.
Here's my, Jamie Costello and I get together at Coco's. This is going to take all night. Because I got a Tim Norris story watching him pitch up at Pony League at the Eastwood Little League up on the Joseph Lee Field. I saw him throw no hitters.
He was unbelievable.
He was my dad would say Tim Norris is pitching. up on for Pony League up at Eastwood in the All-Stars in July and August, up on the field. My dad and I took the bus to watch Jim Norris pitch 10 times in 1978-79.
That's funny, man.
And I've never met Tim Norris.
No,
I don't
kidding.
Know. I've never met Tim Norris.
Oh, I got to get him.
He would be a big celebrity in my world.
All right.
If he comes and does the show with me,
all right,
I would give him the not too much because he went to Curly, but I would give him the some respect that he would get.
He was great, man. Great.
Sports night at Fatima. So I went to Fatima my whole life as a child. And about 77, 78, 79 is when sports night started. And I don't know if somebody would know more than me, but when my dad saw it in the brochure, in the church brochure, that there was a sports night, we bought, and of course it came paper plate.
Yeah.
And it was roast beef and gravy, mashed potatoes, green beans, and a roll. And one of those cakes that came in the box, right?
Right.
With the icing on top, and you cut it square, and it was your chocolate or vanilla. And that was sports night.
I think it's from Herman's.
So I have in my Polaroid collection, and Johnny Rollo can speak to this, because John and I, John
Rollo,
went to Fatima. Yeah, he was an altar boy with me. I was an altar boy. Imagine that. But I was an altar boy there at Fatima. So 77, 78, 79, 80, my dad took me. I was 10, 11, 12. I was born in 68. So what year were you born?
59.
You ain't that much older than me.
No,
I thought you
I'm
were
right behind you.
Yeah, okay. 68. So I'm talking about I'm 10, 11, 12. So I had a little Instamatic camera. I have pictures. I got a picture of Cal Ripken Sr. smoking a heater up at the dinner at the table because the table was in the front. And you were the MC with a little thing. So you would have, let me guess, Danny Wright. Who was
Danny
the jockey?
Wright. Yes,
to your left, right? Of course, of course. I mean, I was at all these things, man. I'm not making
That's
this up.
Right.
Danny Wright was connected to somebody in the parish. Every year he was a jockey who
that
came.
That is funny.
There was a player who was a Kansas City Chief who was a Baltimore kid that I think went to West Virginia. I mean, I'm going back 1980 when he was a fringe.
Oh, man.
He was a special team guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But he came, and the Blast would send Kenny Cooper, or the Blast would send Jim Pollihan or Danny Counts when they were,
right.
I'm talking 82, 3, 4 now, because the Blast weren't even here in 78, 79. So I have pictures of Cal Sr., but here's my favorite one. About 80, 81, maybe right when you, that's why I'm asking you, because if, you may have been the MC, because I would have been 13 or 14. I still was going to church, and my dad was still alive, and we went to sports night every year. So I might have attended the one that you did. And, I mean, I have vivid memories in the pictures of all of this stuff. But Stedman, I talked him into coming and doing it for me at my parish when I got to know him in the late 80s. But in the early 80s, finding like celebrity, the Colts were here, the Orioles, Elrod was there every year.
Right.
Elrod came,
was there.
Or Cal Sr. came every year. I mean, this is why I did the Nasty Nice Guy Awards, because it was the only thing I knew were Blast, Orioles, Colts,
that's it,
jockeys, college people. They were just always celebrities in the basement of my little church.
Right.
In Dundalk.
Yeah. Sold out. Packed.
And it was like a tradition every year to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I guess I go back to my childhood. That picture of Cal, I'm going to send it to you. I have a picture
That's
of Cal
great.
Ripken in my basement at Our Lady of Fatima. I can't believe you were a part of that.
Yeah, way back. Yeah, that was great.
Oh,
I loved
man.
It.
Dundalk
I
stories
it.
And Highland Town stories. Annapolis for you.
Yes, sir.
Give me the love of that for you, because
man,
you're like a Rosedale guy. Rosedale guys don't move to Annapolis.
I know. I had a little struggle at the beginning because I love it. Man, they every weekend there's a reason to get out and enjoy it. I mean, you don't even have to go downtown. I mean.
What drew you to it? I mean, you
worked
the whole area.
Well, my wife was there,
Your wife was already there.
Yeah, so we just.
So that's where you decided to go.
I'm not going to go anywhere. I love it there. I love it. The people are great. Everything. Eastport.
Love Eastport.
Eastport. Those people
I'll
over
go
there,
over to Davis over there. I'll go to the boatyard. I know all about
they
it.
They are in. They think differently, let me tell you. And they have a party for everything. It's coming up next Saturday at noon. They have what's called the Eastport .02 race. It's the bridge race. It takes all of 3 minutes. to get across.
Well, they
the
had the fire across the other side at the country
right,
club, right?
That's right. So they have that. They have the bridge run. They have the tug of war between Annapolis and Eastport. I mean, it's like every weekend there's something to do, and I love it. The mayor,
Mr. Franio, down at the boatyard, throws that party at the museum, the Maritime Museum.
Yeah, the Maritime Museum.
Up at the end, he brought in John and Peter Mayer, not John Mayer, John Mayer from the Jimmy Buffett's band.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he brought
right.
the Coral Reefers right, basically right, in because yeah, he was friends with
right.
Dick Franio knows them. Knew Jimmy well. Yeah. Jimmy used to eat crab cakes in the boatyard down there.
That's
true.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, he would throw that soiree. I'm talking like 1,500 people in Eastport out on that pier listening to Jimmy Buffett watching the sunset.
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
I love Annapolis, but it just feels like a day trip from a kid from Dundalk and a kid that lives in Towson now. You know what I mean? This just feels like you're moving all the way to Annapolis, you know? That's almost the Eastern Shore.
Well, we got Cal down there now. Cal lives there. Who else? Somebody just.
Well, Viviano's in Anne Arundel County. He's
in Suburna Park. Yeah.
What is this migration to the South?
How about that? He's an SP. He's a Green Hornet. We don't talk to those
guys. Do you ever wake up in the morning and put your suit on and get in the car and make your way to Channel 2 and turn around? You haven't made that mistake
yet. My wife,
yet.
Who is in the business, she has those. You know, like, where's my makeup?
Detox moment?
5 o'clock, I don't have my earpiece in. Yeah.
I'm wondering what's going to happen when I don't have this. That's why I'm asking you.
You're going to have it. You're going to have it. Where's my headset? I can't find my headset. Where is it? Where's the on button? Where's the...
See, I have a bigger problem. I own a radio station, so my biggest problem is, did I program the radio station?
Yeah, you're right.
You came in and you're like, I was listening to you in the car. You were talking to somebody. I'm like, no, I taped the show. It's not live anymore. I mean, I did live, and I did tape, but it is amazing when you do this long enough how much things change.
Oh, man.
I mean, in your world, the internet happened.
When
right?
I started, we did film. So that we'd go out and shoot film and bring it back, and he'd have to splice it.
That's why your old video clips look so cool.
Splice, oh, gee.
The old man on the street stuff you did when you were really young.
Oh, that was fun for them to let me do that kind of stuff. You can't do that today.
But I saw your retirement that you had down at the harbor, you and your wife put this huge reel together of never before seen, I think it was outtakes of some of your stuff or whatever. And you can see the beauty of film.
I'll be honest with you. My father, every day, would go home at 4:45. He'd go three stops. He'd go to the post office in Rosedale. He'd go to the Giant. And then he'd go to the bank, the Equitable Bank. And then he'd come home at 4:45. He'd get in front of the TV, and he'd record. He'd record the 5 and the 6 and the 11. And then he'd record the morning show every single day. I have 450 VCR tapes that they took, and they just, and there's a lot of, there's Ken Matz, and there's Sally Thorner, and they're introducing, and he was a little slow
Horace
sometimes.
Horace Holmes.
And there was a little delay sometimes, so hello with the story. So he was.
Rudy?
Rudy.
I had such a crush on Rudy when I was a little boy.
Still looking
every
good.
Time I see Rudy, I always she gives me a hard time. She flirts with me now. She knows
great.
I had a crush with her.
That's great.
You know, but I mean, the golden age of television, you know, like the anchorman age that you lived through. Did you ever want to be anything else?
No, I had no plan B. No plan B.
How did it even happen? I don't even know.
I'll tell you two stories. Number one, my father, we were stationed at Fort Holabird. And my father was had to go to a tour in Korea. So when I'm in Rosedale with my mother,
early 70s?
60s.
60s, okay.
Yeah, and my brother was going to the Citadel in South Carolina. So it's me and my mom in the house. And I heard everything.
And you're not Marylanders. You were transient.
No, we're here. Yeah, no.
But your father was from here?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, he was from Pennsylvania. He moved down here.
Okay,
right. Yeah, through the Army and all that kind of stuff. Anyway. We land in Rosedale, and the house, I'd hear the house settle. And I'm like, what's that? My mother told me, get on the radio. Turn on your radio. So I turn on the radio, and I'd start with WBAL. Then I'd go to WBZ. Then I'd go to KMOX. Then I'd go to WBT down in Charlotte. And I wanted to be in the box.
Sports or news?
Didn't matter.
You just wanted to talk
to be
on the
in
radio.
That box.
Okay.
And then in fifth grade, when I went to Red House Run Elementary, I never said a word, never raised my hand. always the quiet. Nobody knew except my closest friends and my family what I sounded like. Mr. Copenhaver, my fifth grade teacher, who we're still friends with today. Mr. Copenhaver says your assignment is going to be a speech. You have to give a speech for 3 minutes.
Public speaking.
And I went home that night and I told my mother I'm dropping out of Red House Run. She goes, no. So you got to write about something you know and we'll do it. And
Orioles.
She told me, it was a baseball. How a baseball is made. The stitches and the rawhide. So
How old are you, 10?
Oh, I was about 10 years old. Yeah. So I'm looking in the Encyclopedia Britannica on how to make a baseball. And I swallow these index cards. And she says, start on the left, go to the center, go to the right. Left, center, right. Don't look at any. Look over their heads.
That's good public speaking.
Don't look into their eyes or we get nervous.
See the back of the room. Right.
So I can remember like it. Friday comes. I go to Red House Run. And I notice there's nobody with a last name that begins with an A. Or a B, and guess who's up first? Me, Costello. So I get up with my prop. I had a prop, a baseball in my hand. My hand is shaking. I'm going, these kids have never heard me before. I go left, I go center, I go right. 3 minutes later, I stop. And the whole class stands up and starts clapping for me.
Oh.
And I've never shut the hell up since. That started it. That was it. I got
peer approval, not pressure, approval.
So all of the parents who think that their kid is the shy one, hold on.
I was never the shy one, Jay. I don't have that story. But, so back to sports night, because I did want to give you this story. So 1980 or 81, we went to sports night, and all the people are up on the dais. There's Danny Wright. There's whoever the MC was.
Wright.
Might have been you, right? You could tell me whether you were the MC of this one or not.
I'm trying to remember now.
No, because I'm going to give you a name of someone that's going to be a blast from the past for you, all right?
All right.
All these local people.
Yeah.
And there was one person up there, an older man, and I didn't know who he was, and they said, we have to welcome American League umpire Nestor Shylock.
I was there.
You
Nestor
were there.
Nestor Shylock.
You were there. He said, I have his autograph from that night. He signed my Sports Night program.
Get the
I have
out.
Nestor Shylock, the only Nestor I've ever met me.
Nestor Shylock.
Nestor Shylock.
Didn't know who he was. Didn't know
you
who
were
he
the
was.
MC that night.
I believe I was.
There you go.
I remember
That's
Nestor.
See, it took me 20 minutes to remember that story. Because
I remember the guy
night.
Sitting there and an umpire, what?
I got Nestor Shylock's autograph.
That is great.
And I looked it up online. It's worth like $12, I think, these days.
Nestor. Nestor.
But he was from Pennsylvania, so
yes,
he drove
right,
down.
Right.
And sports night was always like in the middle of winter. It was always like
right,
in February.
Right, right,
you know?
Oh, my goodness. How about that?
Our Lady of Fatima, there you have it. I was an altar boy. Jamie Costello was here. He's forever an altar boy.
Oh, yeah,
little
right,
Red Run. No. Little Red Run.
Is that Red House Run.
I always
make
fun of it.
Red House Run.
It's a great name, though.
It's a great name. They tore it down and rebuilt it right there on the spot.
They tore mine down, too, Colgate Elementary. My school was 100 years old, and they tore it down.
Oh, man.
And it's all brand spanking new over in East Baltimore.
Good
for you.
Well, good for
them. Trying to cut the right path. Back to the Future scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. We have these to give away. We were at Coco's doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, trying to get Jamie out, get him out of his shell a little bit, find out. So what is Costello Me About It, what you're doing?
It's Costello Your Story, and we're just telling stories for companies that want to put stuff on their website. They want to promote what they're doing, and we have gone to so many charitable events. And here's the tape now. Let's roll it. And we're like, didn't really hit the mark. So we want to tell the stories that make people reach.
Are you
their
editing
wallets.
Your own stuff?
Yeah,
now?
We edit the own stuff. We shoot our own stuff.
Just like when you were a kid.
Yeah, it's just I love it. It's great. And we are. We did a story. I can't. It's a surprise for this person, and it's an incredible. I mean, this guy. I didn't know him, and I met him. And I love the guy, and we had, it must have been 50 interviews supporting this gentleman, and we're going to have a big shindig for him.
All right. Well, you're going to share it on your social,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But it's stuff like that, so we're having good. And my wife has been down on the shore doing stories about, she just got hired to do a story on when you're going down 50 and you take a look to what goes on over there in that farm. Now we're doing the farm stories, and it's catching on. It's pretty neat.
Driving around doing the Crab Cake Tour in August. The neatest part for me has been the unfold, not just the meeting people.
Yeah.
Because I said to Jen, I'm going to meet great people.
Yeah.
Going around the state. I've done it in August the last couple of years. Driving from Oakland, Maryland, through Rocky Gap and Cumberland to Antietam and Frederick and the wine fields out at Big Corks and, Southern Maryland down at St. Mary's where Brandon Scott went to school and crossing the bridge. We've all crossed the bridge and been on 50. I tell people now, get off 50 and go down to Blackwater if you've never done it. Go down to Hooper's Island and get a crab cake down there at Old Salty's.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's it.
Go down to Chicoteague. Go south of Salisbury. Go down to Snow Hill. See that train track that runs on 13 down to Virginia where that train track was built 200 years ago the road goes right by the whistle stops. But the thing about August is it's so beautiful. The state, it's lush. The rivers are running in the west. The mountains are lush.
Yeah.
The beach is there. The eastern shore has the corn and the tobacco and the growth and the trees. We have such a beautiful state. So that's the part that I love about getting out and talking to people and seeing the things you're talking about, doing stories. You know?
I had to go up and cover a story 2 years ago. Up in Cecil County for the fair, what was the thing, the horse, the equestrian.
Equestrian, okay.
Yeah. So I'm coming down the road, going through Galena, and I see this restaurant, Twinnies. And I pass Twinnies like 5 times, and it's packed, like outside Cocoa's.
Galena, here. You mean little beach town between Maryland and Delaware? Chesapeake City?
Sassafras, on the Sassafras River.
Go ahead, okay.
It's packed. I'm going, what's going on? So I go in there.
John Martin does this with the lotteries. We got a winner in Galena, Maryland. I'm like,
I
got to look up Galena, make sure that I know what I'm talking about.
And,
go ahead.
And it was just great. You go in there, and it's just like Coco's here. Everybody's friendly, you know. And in the old days, if you couldn't afford it or if you were a
my pal owned a home in Galena.
It's great.
He owned a home on the water in Galena, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right there.
I told you, it's right between, like, Chesapeake City.
Yeah,
Chesapeake
okay.
City and on
it's
the
great.
Way down to Chestertown.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Eastern Shore.
I love it. I love the shore.
I am doing this summer, instead of doing crab cakes, because I've done crab cakes, I've done breweries, my 27th anniversary of NST this summer.
27.
I'm doing my 27 favorite things to eat in Baltimore over 27 days.
That's great.
So, I mean, you are a man about town. You eat places. Give me a little bit of your favorite stuff. Give me Best of Jamie. I want some Best of Jamie.
Back then or?
Now. Where you
now,
go. Give me some stuff that you love doing.
I loved the Stewart's Root Beer Stand.
On road, that's your side of town.
That was great. Hausner's when I was growing up.
Oh,
Hausner's.
I drove by there the other night. Still Hausner's to me. Strawberry pie.
Oh, man. That was great. But now to this day, oh, man, we go to the Doodahs. No, not Doodahs. I used to go to Doodahs.
I love Doodahs.
We down in Annapolis, you got Dock Street. Dock Street is just incredible for shrimp. And crab cakes, great. All of Annapolis, McGarvey's. The best thing is when you go into Middleton's, 9 o'clock Friday, Saturday night, go upstairs to the piano bar. I'm telling you.
I'm coming down to Annapolis and partying with you,
great.
Big boy.
I got a good story for you.
Go ahead. Give me. If Jamie Costello has a story, I want to hear it.
So we're at this fundraiser for a school. It's called Indian Creek. So they invited us out to this new restaurant in Annapolis, which isn't new, but it's remodeled and stuff.
Okay.
And it used to be Reardon's.
Oh, sure. Right down on the square. Sure.
Mike Reardon.
Sure. Basketball.
Right. So Mike Reardon, sold it and it went down. And so a well-known doctor in town bought it, refurbished. It's beautiful. Called it the Pearl. The Pearl. All right. So I'm driving home that night with my wife and I go, you know what? Mike Reardon was traded from New York to Baltimore for Earl the Pearl Monroe. So there you go. Old Mike Reardon's place traded for the Pearl. Now the place that he used to own is called the Pearl.
I got an Annapolis thing for
that?
You. Ready?
Yeah.
This is going to be on my 27 favorite things in Baltimore.
Okay.
I'm going to say right now, straight up, I'm doing the show in August here with Marcella at Coco's. We're going to do the coconut shrimp. Because okay. Coconut shrimp are one of my 27 favorite. Right. I've already had it. I introduced my son to it. My son was here a little while ago, so I gave him one. Well, I gave him two, but, you know, I ate the other four. I went down to Annapolis last year. I did the oyster tour.
Yeah.
So I did 31 oysters in 31 days. I had 31 years on the radio, right? The oyster I had that's going to make the list is at the Federal House in downtown Annapolis. Okay? So go to the Federal House. They have an oyster crab ceviche. So what they do is they take the raw oyster, big as your head, and they put this crab ceviche raw on top. Unbelievable. One of the best things I've ever eaten in my life. Okay. So go get that. All right. It's their house specialty. Trust me.
Okay. You got to go to Sailor Oyster Bar.
Okay.
Sailor Oyster Bar. Oh, my God. That's great. I would say the most underrated place in Anne Arundel County is The Point. The Point in Arnold. On the water. It is incredible.
I don't think I've ever been to Arnold.
It is great.
Don't hold it against me. I don't know that I've officially been to Arnold.
Right off of College Parkway. It is great. I'm telling you, The Point.
That's the thing for me, like in Annapolis, south of Annapolis, like I haven't explored enough.
Oh, you got Edgewater down there?
I've been there. They've got a great crab cake place.
Yes,
Edgewater Inn, right?
Yes, right.
So, like, I haven't had it yet, but I know about it. But that part where, like, from there down to St. Mary's and Solomon's, I'm a little bit of a tenderfoot to that. You know, I've done it once in my life. I just have never had a reason to go down there. Southern Maryland's different. And like, I don't know that people have explored it because it's not on the way to Ocean City.
Right,
you have to have a purpose to go down there.
Right.
Unless you're taking 301 to Richmond.
Right.
But I mean, Anne Arundel County, when you move down there, I'm thinking everything's new when you're a Rosedale guy.
Yeah,
to some degree.
That's right. Everything, what? I love it.
Jamie Costello's here. He's done with media. He's never going to do any more media. This is the last media he's ever going to do. Do you miss it at all?
Surprisingly, no. I miss the talk.
I miss the digging
of the story, the lady, our Lady of Fatima, that kind of stuff. And
Nestor Shylock.
My gosh. You know, Mickey has invited me on his podcast. You were telling.
Dude, John Allen was there. Mickey, where are you? I had you on my show. Why don't you have me on your show?
I said, Mickey, I'm following Ed Hale. Gee. How about that?
What's he working his way down to me? Seriously, Mick, you got John Allen before me. You got Jamie before me. Who else? Hale?
Hale, Ed Hale.
What's he done lately?
That's funny.
Yeah, let's go. Come on, Mick.
It's great, man.
Hey, Mick, you cutting me out?
There you go.
I'm going to give him a hard time now. Now I owe him a call. I returned his call because he called me a couple weeks ago. You know, there is something about this town and everybody knowing everybody.
Everybody knows.
Everybody stays. And even people like Viviano and Marty that come from other places, they come and they don't leave.
They don't leave. That's great. Just like the Colts.
I'll never know what that's like. And I often talk to people from out of town and say, why here? You know what I mean? Like, I love it here because I'm from here.
That's a good point.
When people settle here, it shows me. I always have questions. Just as a local guy, I'm like, you marry into this? Was it a job? Like, was it the weather? Was it the humidity or the humility? I don't know which one. Heat or the humility?
When people used to come in new to Channel 2, I didn't know this until it was pointed out to me, but they said, we are a tough nut to crack because we're so colloquial. We go to this place on Friday night. We go to this place on Saturday. And they're like,
what high school you went to.
Right.
I talked to you about what elementary school you went
to.
I don't even know what high school you went to.
Overly, man. Come on.
You're a Falcon?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a Falcon.
I thought you were, but I didn't want to insult you in case you went to Curly or something.
Dave Johnson was my pitcher.
Was Ron Schultz there? No, he came later. Ron Schultz, the athletic director. He was at Overly a little later on.
Belinko was.
Ron Belinko. He ran Baltimore County for a long time. I knew Ron Belinko well.
Ronnie was a good guy.
He was your Overly guy.
And he lives down in Delaware now. He's retired.
He and Jill Masterman, they ran Baltimore County back when I was doing softball and doing all that stuff.
Belinko used to have a tan in January. Remember that? He was golden.
Well, I probably went and watched the Orioles play. Probably. All right, you got any Orioles? I've waited to the end here because as we tape this, things don't look good right now. This is not good. It's been a tough season.
As my 8-year-old and I talk about it, we're furious that they didn't bring McCann back.
That was your guy.
Heart and soul guy. McCann, Santander. You lose that part of the clubhouse, man. that, you know, hey, Jackson's struggling a little bit. Santander comes in, McCann comes in. Hey, listen, buddy, I've been there before. Brings them up. Who is the leader of this team right now?
It's almost like you listened to me and Luke this morning in the car, because I did the show in Atlanta last night. I saw Pearl Jam in Atlanta before I flew home for this today. And Luke and I did a piece late on Tuesday evening after the latest really awful loss. And we are asking the question about body language and about mojo and just sort of like they look defeated. And certainly did over the weekend against Detroit. Yankees beating their head in. They've had a couple of really the Easter beat in, you know, with 24 runs, all that. There's a body language part, and we're saying, where's the leadership? And we started talking about great leaders of Oriole history, right? Rick Sutcliffe. You know, Kevin Millar got imported for that role. Adam Jones and Nelson Cruz 10 years ago, right? Even Buck being known as a leader of men, right? Pile divers and all that stuff that he talked about. I don't know what Brandon Hyde is. These young people, I don't know that there's enough experience amongst the Adley. I mean, Adley Rutschman, the minute he came up, looked like he was going to be the pat on the butt kind of guy and always going to be the one that everyone goes to. When you're hitting 208, yeah, people don't look to you. Right. And Kyle Gibson, we were like, Kyle Gibson. He comes in awful, the home runs on Tuesday night and all that. But Luke, on Monday after the victory, says, hey, Kyle Gibson's coming in. Maybe this will be that thing you're talking about. I brought McCann up. And you know what Luke said flippantly? Well, he was here at the end of last year, and they didn't, you know, second half of last year, him getting the ball in the face and all that, like, they didn't play good baseball at the end of the year. He wasn't a productive player. And I said the same thing you said. I'm like, he's a backup catcher. He's not $8 million a year like Sanchez. Felt to me like part of the furniture, right, in the way that when you pull Santander out, you're like, hey, what's missing? Oh, the $100 million player that Toronto found value in that we didn't. In the same way when Nelson Cruz went away, there was a wayward thing that happened to Scope. Machado disappeared, then the whole thing went into the can. I'm wondering where this is, because this is really – Jamie, I've been doing this 35 years, right? I've been through Camden Yards getting built, the strike, Ripken 21-31. Davey Johnson's not the manager. Davey Johnson is the manager. We're in the playoffs. Davey Johnson's not the manager. Ray Miller's the manager. Angelo screwed it all. I mean, I'm giving you the whole Oriole history in 30 seconds. But, like, I've been through all of this. I don't recognize this. I don't recognize we're going to tank for 5 years, call it rebuilding, bring it in. The owner's going to die. The kid's going to go away. The new guy's going to come in. He's loaded with money. We're loaded with talent. And the team's going to be awful this year. I mean, they're going to be – I don't think there's anything to do to fix the pitching. And I'm thinking to myself, this level of expectation from our fans that we never had because Angelo's owned the team. There was never any expectation the way this has been built over the last 18 months, 24 months from, hey, we're really good. Angelo's is going to die. John's going to sell the team. They're not going to move to Nashville. We're going to have a new owner. We have all of these blossoming superstars. And the team's going to stink. We didn't spend any time preparing mentally for this kind of a step backward.
101 wins 2 years ago. Are we rebuilding again?
But it's not linear.
Who's coming?
101 doesn't mean we're due for 104 the next year and 110 the next year.
But it means like you had a real like that.
Pitching.
Oh, pitching. Oh, man.
Well, Elias hasn't drafted a pitcher that has thrown a pitch in the big leagues until this week. Brandon Young was the first one.
Right, right.
That's kind of hard to do. 7 years of scouting and not getting a pitcher to the hill. And that speaks to the way they drafted. They drafted hitters, right?
But we want that guy, that 21-year-old phenom, that 45,000 people walk up to see
him. We have that, right? Jackson Holliday, Gunnar Henderson, Adley. We got three of those, right?
A pitcher.
Except it's not happening.
Remember we had, who was the lefty? The 19-year-old lefty we brought up. Remember the
Adam Lowen?
Matt Ryan. Remember that? And then Sidney
Matt
Ponson.
Matt Riley.
And then Sidney Ponson. And then
it was B.J. Ryan was the left-hander.
Yeah, B.J. Ryan.
We didn't bring him up.
Grayson Rodriguez, will we see him this year?
Well, this thing with the arm injuries, I mean, your kids are playing Little League, Jay. Yeah. You know, like, this Tommy John thing.
It's like every day I see it, IL. IL
My
pitchers.
Wife works with a guy whose kid can play ball. A little more advanced version of your.
Yeah.
How old are your kids?
Eight.
Yeah, all right. So, like, eight. this 17, Tommy John surgery. 16, 17-year-old kids getting Tommy John surgery. And I'm thinking to myself, not my kid. I hope it's not your kid.
No, I hope
but
not.
But, like, that's getting normalized in baseball.
But some do it before they even get hurt. Some do it just to make sure that they don't lose a year.
It's not tonsils.
No.
You know what I mean? You know, it's not tonsils and adenoids.
Right, right,
you know?
Right. Look at the Dodgers. Look at all their injuries. Suddenly, they're looking at Sandy.
Look at all the money they're spending. I just want the Orioles to be what you and I know they can be.
Oh, man.
And we've waited a long time.
Yeah,
you know?
We did. Oh,
I remember seeing you out in Kansas City at the playoff games 10 years ago. I remember I was sat with you.
All we needed was
in the press
run.
Box. I was
we
in the media.
We didn't get the runs. 2-1. 2-1.
No, but you get close like that when you're in an American League Championship Series. I mean, that's as good as it gets, right?
Yeah,
I mean, Delman Young moment, all that stuff.
That was great.
And to feel like that's 11 years out, and we had this feeling the last couple of years that we're close, and now as we wake up here and it's not even May yet, well, it'll be May by the time you hear this, the feeling of this season being not just a little wayward. It feels really lost in a weird way, and it's so early, and it's so hard because – it's the first time since I was 25 that I think fans really have hope.
They did.
You know what I mean? Like, we really haven't had a lot of hope around here.
Well, we can turn it around. I remember Earl's teams. Remember, we used to get off the horrendous starts in April, and all of a sudden we'd win.
Earl had pitching, dude.
20, yeah, you're right.
Earl had Flanagan, McGregor, Palmer, you know. Dennis Martinez on a bad day.
Unbelievable.
Dobson, Cuellar, McNally. Come on, Palmer.
Son of a gun.
Palmer's something, didn't he?
I love him. Love Cakes.
He's the greatest Oriole ever. And he's there, and now he's, you know, my wife's like, how old is he? I'm like,
he's going to be 80.
He's going to be 80.
He's going to be 80.
And I'm like, how many games do you want him to do?
All of them.
Except the one Ben's doing. I like Ben.
Ben's
I love
good.
Ben.
Ben is good.
I love Ben. But the Palmer thing and the fact that Brooks has left us, Johnny has left us, right? Palmer is
a
living legend.
You're right.
And to have him in the booth every night and, you know, I don't talk to Jim Palmer's never done my show in 35 years. Jim's not a big fan of me or mine, or I don't know why, but, I mean, I love Jim. I've always loved Jim. There is something about him still doing the games that gives me this.
It's comfort.
It gives me that. I feel like Brooks is still there.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And I want them to win. For him. I want them to win for Clancy. You know what I mean?
God,
I want
yes.
them to win
yeah.
for those people.
Right.
Not for me. I want them to win for the people
just
that have really
suffered.
Just to
experience what it's like to be around here in October. Oh, it's great.
I remember 83, though. You and Lisa.
Oh, yeah. We have that.
You were old enough.
That was good.
Jamie Costello is here. He is Costelloing us about all sorts of things. Any other stories you're working on? Do you want to plug
just everyday stories about every human possible. Anybody that moves will do a story on you.
What's your favorite story to do?
Somebody who's overcome something that is never saw it coming, and all of a sudden, man, are they, like Marcus Moore. Marcus Moore.
Okay, go ahead. Let's talk about him.
Marcus Moore.
Because he's one of my favorite people in the city. I saw the Orioles honored him. I saw that dingbat that the dingbat appointed about autism and kids with autism can't contribute. Well, Marcus Moore thinks RFK is a clown, and so do I. But go ahead, Marcus.
You know, I met Marcus years ago. What are you doing? He goes, my mother and I went to my mom and dad, said, I have nothing. I'm going to be 30, which he's a couple of years later. I'm going to be 30. I have no friends. I'm a stock guy at the local grocery store. And they took a pretzel and they smothered it with Old Bay. They took a pretzel and they smothered it with cinnamon. And they put it in a package. They pulled it, Moore's Crunch. And he started selling it at a local market. I think Fells Point Market was the first one. Crofton, another one.
And it's delicious,
He lives right off of 50 in Annapolis, right near me. And all of a sudden, boom, he's everywhere. He's selling at Gershbeck's. I mean, the kid is just...
Hershbeck. You got baseball in mind.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
Where was it?
Well, by the way, if you don't know who Marcus Moore is, Google him. If you saw the young man throwing out the first pitch at Oriole Park last week...
My phone's dead already. Look at it. It's dead. He just texted me just a while ago.
I want to have him on the show.
You got it. I'll get
you, please, can you organize that?
I will do
that. Because I see him around town all the time.
Is.
He's always smiling. He's always happy.
Yeah.
He is a beautiful soul.
His mama is Kathy, and she's known as Mama Crunch, and dad is Papa Crunch.
Well, I want to have them on, too.
Okay.
I want to have the whole family.
I will get them.
I want the whole stinking Moore family
on. You got
it. I want more, more.
And
I want more, more, more. Oh, that's a song.
Yeah, yeah.
More, more, more. We got more with Jamie Costello. We're out here at Coco's. We're just, like, catching up. I don't even know. Like, I know.
It's like,
I have nothing.
Is there an audience?
I could talk politics with you, sports with you, but I love talking Baltimore.
We're just
like,
talking.
Baltimore's
that's
my
good.
Favorite
All
thing.
Of a sudden, it's just us, the two of us talking.
If anybody missed the first 5 minutes of this, we did, is it on Bel Air Road or is it on Harford Road? And we pronounced right, Blair Road.
Blair.
We're not on Blair Road. We're on Harford Road.
Blair Road.
I was over at Drudel Park the other day.
Yeah. Drudel.
Have you been to the zoo lights? Zoo illumination?
No.
Ah, when I can Costello.
But remember when they had the zoo, what was that thing?
Zoomerang, Brew at the Zoo.
That was, no, they're Zoomerang.
They're redoing Zoomerang. Zoomerang's
that
coming back.
That was one of the greatest parties.
Black
here.
Tie,
yes.
Bobby Nick DJ'd it every year.
Bobby Nick, God bless Bobby
Late,
Nick.
Late, great Bobby Nick.
oh, gee, you're bringing him, man. That's great.
I'm trying, man.
That
you started
great.
Me on Bel Air Road. So I had a Mike Evans on 2 weeks ago. We did the crab cake tour down at Fadley's, and I had a last-minute cancellation, and I reached Kirby and Shannon over at the zoo. I'm like, hey, come down, do some zoo talk. We just had a baby giraffe. And they're like, no, we got this illumination thing. We got to come down. I'm like, what's illumination? My wife and I went Friday with my son and his wife. They've gotten this Chinese art. Like, if you ever seen the Chinese New Year, the floats that they have with the animals and stuff, it's like the floats, but they're animals. Tigers, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. They have it all illuminated, and you go at night. So you go 5:30, 6 o'clock it opens. You go over. You have run of the zoo, but the animals are asleep. A lot of the animals are asleep.
Right.
A few of the animals are
with
out
the lights
in the front.
Of the show.
But do you remember the old zoo? Of course you do. They had those inhumane cages in the front, the old cages.
Yeah.
They
right.
did away with all of that in the modern era, but they didn't get rid of the cages. And the zoo was kind of like they made a new entrance, and they kind of hid it a little bit. They didn't know what to do with it. They've used that part, and they've earmarked with Kirby's budget and all the new things they're doing over there to – the polar bear exhibit that used to be, as you and I remember as kids, we took pictures there. They're now doing different things with all those spaces. But at night, all this spring, it's called Night Illuminations. My wife and I did it.
Oh,
we
my
had
God. How long does this go on?
All spring. It started about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
It's at night. Google it. Go to MarylandZoo.org and you'll learn about it.
Yeah.
But your kids will love it.
Love it.
It's nighttime.
Good time.
So you want to get over there on night, like, 80-degree night.
Okay.
Oh, my God. The zoo's quiet.
Okay.
They have music playing, beautiful, like, new age music. You can go get a beer. But my son and his wife and my wife all got on, even the swing sets and stuff are illuminated. So everything is lit. It's like Light City.
Okay.
Except you can ride on it, touch it, take pictures of it.
That's great.
They have, like, this falling rain colored gazebo you walk through. It's lovely.
Love it.
The
Love
zoo,
it.
We have such amazing
assets. You know who saved the zoo?
The state.
Don Hutchinson.
Don Hutchinson.
Don Hutchinson saved that Baltimore
After
zoo.
He saved Baltimore County.
Yeah, right.
But the zoo is thriving. And
that's great.
It's beautiful.
That's
the penguins
great.
Are great, and they have this beautiful snow leopard over there. So I'm giving you a little Costello
Thank you.
Story.
I love it.
Yeah, I want you to Costello me. It's not a story until you tell it,
okay,
I think.
Okay, I love it. The zoo,
is that fair?
Baby. Yeah, it's fair.
All right. You're done. You retired.
I'm done.
You want to be
I'm
retired
done.
Again?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get your crab cake. Get you out of here.
You got
children.
Tonight. Yeah.
Eight-year-olds. What are you doing?
Love it.
Tee.
8 year old.
Are you pitching to them?
No. We got a one tee baller. My youngest is a tee baller, and then the 8 year old. That's kid pitch.
I had a Swedish girlfriend like 25 years ago, and I was in New York City, and she didn't know anything about baseball. And I took her to a Yankee Red Sox, I mean, a real Yankee, like a Clemens Pedro kind of game.
Okay.
So we're at Yankee Stadium, and I have this beautiful Swedish girlfriend. She's a beautiful girl. She's a great girl. Knew nothing about baseball, but she had never been to a baseball game. So now I'm taking her to Yankee Stadium, and I'm trying to explain baseball. And her English is impeccable. It wasn't an English issue. It was that's a ball, that's a strike. In her mind, a ball's like an object, right? Not a thing.
Okay.
A strike is like Is that like
somebody.
Bowling, she said.
Okay,
is that like
right.
bowling? I'm like, no, just, ah, the hell with it. Can I just get you a beer and some beer? I don't want to explain it to you. I don't know when my grandkids come along or that I would have to explain The only time in my adulthood I've ever tried to explain baseball to a human, I've never had to explain it to anyone because anyone in this culture would be too embarrassed to ask me to explain it to
them.
Let me
tell you.
Or they just, it's osmosis, right? So when you have a child and you're trying to teach a child baseball, not just your own child that may or may not be home with daddy watching ball games every night, but somebody just brings their child and they don't know the rules and they run to third base and they tell me about teaching young children baseball because it's something I don't know that I could ever do.
They don't even know what hand they're supposed to put the glove on. They don't know the top hand go. So anyway,
it's a different level of patience than maybe I have, Jamie.
So then it's like, yeah, you got to. So the other night we're working on a force play, ground ball to short. Where are you going to go? Second,
cover. 8 year olds.
8 year olds, and then we're trying to come up. Coach came up
last night. Are they afraid of the ball?
Yo, some are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then and the other thing is, I have a problem. Some of the kids are going to hit. They're going to get hit. So should I tell them right now to turn in? Don't turn out. But then if you do that, then it's on their minds.
You don't have them throwing curveballs yet, right?
No. But one of the parents said last night, you ought to work on cutoffs. Oh, my God.
I'm just trying to get them to figure out where first base is.
Right, exactly.
And run to
it. We can't do it. So you got to really scale it back. At first, you know, you're out there going, okay, we're going to do this.
Well, it's basic stuff like three strikes, four balls, three outs, what's an inning, where's first base.
At eight, you're playing the game.
Why does a second baseman not stand on second base? Why is he between first? What is a shortstop? Which way is left field and right field? I know my left from my right. Lefty, all right, left field, right field. Like, you're just trying, right?
You're right.
And then, like, squeeze the ball.
Squeeze
two hands on two hands, right?
Right.
Just, am I doing all right?
You're right.
I'm just trying to think if you left me with your kid. And your kid didn't know anything about baseball.
The glove, where's
the glove?
I'm trying
to think
about
where do I start?
Below your belt, yeah, it's step and throw.
Let's play catch. Play catch.
It's as simple as that. How to catch, how to throw. It's fundamentals, baby. Fundamentals.
I'm not cut out to have patience, Jamie. I'm not a patient man. They didn't teach me that in Dundalk.
Well,
you know?
It's funny. I got a guy, another coach behind me. And I'll say, somebody will make an error or something, and I'll turn to him and I'll drop some, you know.
Don't talk like Earl Weaver.
Oh, no. And I turn, hey, great job out there. So he's like my sounding board. Hey, great job out there.
So he's feeding, like, Cyrano?
He's, like, helping me. Yeah, he's helping
me. Have you ever coached kids before?
Oh, yeah. I used to do Lutherville, Timonium, Harford Park. I've been doing it for 30 years.
Without children? Or
yeah,
with children.
With children. Older, yeah.
Your oldest kids. Okay.
Mike Powers. Remember Mike Powers?
Sure.
Mike used to be an attorney he's down in Florida, so we used to coach softball together.
Girls.
And he got me in, and I just started girls, and then we went to Harford Park, Lutherville Timonium. Let's see, where else? That was fun.
You know, my dad was a community leader. My dad was the guy with the clicker in his pocket, the umpire.
Ah, that's
but
great.
We always had all the equipment in our shed in Dundalk, all the batting helmets, all the balls, all the bats.
Oh, man.
My dad was that guy, right?
Yeah.
So my dad loved kids. My dad loved baseball. My dad loved coaching. My dad lost his son tragically in 1969. He was 11 years old, your age. Older brother would have been your age, yeah. But he died in 1969. So my dad took to the community, took to kids and coaching. I've coached two teams in my life, other than the WNST employee brigade out here for 15 years. But I coached two teams. My dad took a little league team in Eastwood, and I was still like a kid. I was the assistant. You know what I mean? My dad wanted – it was something to give me and my dad something to do as he got older in life. This is in the 80s. We coached one team. I still have a couple of those kids who are listeners of mine.
See?
And they're not kids. They're 3 years younger than me. They, you know, it was sort of like I was like a junior coach of the team. And then I coached one basketball team in my life, and I did it in Rosedale.
How about that?
At Golden Ring Middle. Did you go to Golden Ring?
Yes, I did.
All right. I did it in your gym. Oh, this is going to be even better. You ready for this?
Oh, my goodness.
So
Golden Ring Middle.
I told this story three weeks ago because I welled up telling this story 3 weeks ago, so I'm going to try to tell it without being weird.
Now go.
So I drank a lot of beer in the 80s. We all did. I had a house on Kane Street, and my best friend in the world was a guy named Michael Fountain, who's disappeared, but I love you, Fountain. Hope you're listening to Depeche Mode somewhere. or Sting, something good. Fountain came. We used to throw these parties on Kane Street. We're 21 years old, 20, 21 in that range. We threw these parties. Girls would come, the music, the whole thing. It was the 80s. And Fountain came to me one day and he said, hey, I'm coaching a basketball team. You're going to have to help me. I'm like, what? And he was from Chesico. He was he grew up right across from the Western Auto. Right across from Western Auto. So right down the road from Little Red.
Red House Run. Okay, that's
right, right down the street. So he said, we're going to coach his team. I'm like, all right, Fountain, I don't really want to coach. What are we coaching? He's like, well, it's a Saturday morning league. I'm like, dude, I don't get out of bed till Saturday afternoon. How do we do a Saturday morning league? And he said, we're going to do this over at Golden Ring Middle. I'm like, all right, man, dude, I'll do it. What time? 8 a.m. We didn't go to bed till 5 most weekends. We would stop at the McDonald's on Route 40 in front of the Heckingers. You know where I'm talking about. Golden Ring Mall, right?
Yeah.
We'd stop there and get a big breakfast or a sausage McMuffin with egg, and I cut through the mall, you know, through the other side, make the left, go up 7, and we go into your middle school gym at Golden Ring Middle, and you could see your breath. Because it was October, November, December.
Yeah, okay.
This is 7:45 in the morning on a Saturday morning. Belinko wasn't heating the gyms in Baltimore County back then, okay? So we got the first pick in the draft. So we picked the kid who was the best player.
Okay.
You know, it was 50, 60 kids running around. We're watching them all. I'm like, that kid's ambidextrous. We want that kid. So we picked that kid, and he winds up being the kid that I coach. And 15 years later, that kid shows up in my radio station, 2002. I coached him in 1989. 2002, he shows up in my radio station with Kirk Lee. And he says to me, Mr. Ness, do you remember me, man? I'm Bino Ranson. You coached me when I was a boy. You coached me. I said, dude, I coached one team in my life. He's like, I was your player. I was left-handed, right. I looked at him, and he was like, his little boy face became his man face. Bino Ranson went on to coach at Xavier, 11-year Maryland assistant, and he was last seen in DePaul, and I ran into him on opening day on a club level with Brian Kowitz. I got a picture with the three of us,
Brian.
Right? So Bino came out and did the show 2 weeks ago. My only coaching in my life that I ever did was in your gym, and I coached a kid that's been a lifer coach. And
Come on.
And it made me cry to tell him that 2 weeks ago at Costas when
that
I did the show.
Is
but he came
great.
Out and did the show.
That
so there's a connection.
How about
Small
that?
Baltimore. It was
Isn't
in your
something?
Middle school.
That is crazy.
Man, I'm not a coach.
Oh, man, you got to. It is everything I live for. I love it.
I know you do.
I love it. That's the only thing. That's one of the reasons I got out of TV.
What do you
because
love
I,
about
I,
it?
You can start in March with a kid, and by June, that kid is excelling. He's seeing success. He's making teammates. He's got friends for the rest of his life. I'm not looking for you to go to Calvert Hall or Loyola or Curley. I'm looking to you to play again next year and get better, and then we'll see where it goes. I'll give you a story. Mark Amatucci, the Tooch, son is Michael. And Mark said, I want him to play for you. I thought that was the biggest
compliment.
This is up in
Lutherville. This is up in
Lutherville, yeah. Oh. And I remember going to the game, coaching, and Mark would sit out in deep left field. And I said, why are you sitting away? Because I had I had the parents in my ear the whole, you know, all winter for coaching basketball. So Michael would start, and he'd get a hit, and he wouldn't stop at first. He'd go first, second, third, Michael, you got to go back, take him out. Michael is now a coach at Calvert Hall playing baseball, and he's also a coach at Hood. Those are the kind of stories. I get a call the other day. Greg Carpenter, his
good man.
Son, his nephew, Brad, who used to be a ball boy at Oriole Park down the line, Brad played with me, greatest starting pitcher I've ever had, and Brad just had a baby. And it's just
you
like,
keep these people your whole life.
Those people are in my life forever. I just love them. And we're starting out today. Another kid, I just named him to the All-Star game. And he's not an All-Star. But I named him to the All-Star. Here, I got two more stories. You got time for two? Real quick.
I got all day for you, bro.
Here we go. I feel like Viviano now with All-Star
game. I got Howard Perlow coming sometime, but I haven't seen him yet. So go
ahead.
So
the mother just sends me a text this morning. Are you sure that my son, are you sure you have the right son? And I said, yeah, he's worked his butt off. He deserves to be an All-Star once in his life. And that's just going to do it. Okay, back in Lutherville, Timonium, there's a guy by the name of Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas was a coach, and we were selecting an all-star team. Dave Thomas brings this kid to the field. It was at Ridgely Elementary the field's over there, brings this kid, changes his pants, puts a shirt on him, makes sure the glove's on, puts a hat on, ties in the belt, takes him out to right field. Takes him out to right field. The kid is autistic. He knows, Dave Thomas knows that this kid will never make an All-Star game. But for this day, he made the All-Star team. Nobody knew what his name was, and all of a sudden, everybody knew what his name was.
Make him feel 100 feet tall.
That is why you do it.
Well, I mean, that's what sports was supposed to be when we were kids,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Once, I've been sitting here all day. My son and I were here, set up equipment. I'm watching the NBA, and I'm watching the father of one of the NBA guys yelling.
What is he doing?
What kind of circus are we running here?
How does he get on the floor?
You mentioned, Amatucci's dad out in the outfield just to leave you alone because, but I see the worst parts of youth sports,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
That's the part that you see nasty stuff going on, but on every – the bad news bear stuff, right?
Yeah.
But on every field my father was ever on, it was like we taught sportsmanship.
Right.
We taught teamwork.
Right.
We taught sharing.
Right.
We taught feeling good about ourselves. We taught winning. We taught losing. We taught shaking hands afterward.
Right.
These were the things that
if you can
when
up,
you're
right.
coaching 8- and 9-year-olds, that is the beauty of it. I would way prefer to do that than go fight with Katie Griggs about a press pass with these billionaires. You know what I mean? There is a point where that is the joy. That is the juice,
it's
right?
It's unbelievable. If they can get along on the field, then they can get along in the office. So that's what we're trying to push them
to. Well, you got
to
come back do the show a little bit more
it's
often.
It's great.
Give me some more Costello meat.
Oh,
stories.
Man,
you've
that's
been
good.
Here so long, I didn't get your crab melt. I didn't get your crab
that's
cake.
That's all right. That's good.
Am I going to send your wife home with some din-din? What am I doing here?
I
hope.
Okay.
I better.
Sure. Okay. I got dinner tonight.
All right. Well, I can't. Here's the problem with the crab cake tour. We start eating crab cakes and we don't talk anymore.
Yeah, right.
So we'll do the crab cakes afterwards, including a beer because it's on special here. Orioles are on special here as well. We're at Coco's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the back to the field. I keep wanting to call them back to school, and I feel like doing a triple Lindy with Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney.
There is some comedy in the show. Back to the Future Scratch-Offs. We will also have these at Red Brick Station in White Marsh, making our debut there. Not
oh, really?
My debut for being there, but my show debut there next week. We're here at Coco's this afternoon, having crab cakes, enjoying the coconut shrimp, encouraging folks to carry out, stop by. Mother's Day's around the corner. Marcella's nuts over here because they got the Morgan State graduation coming. That's why I'm here
boy.
In April.
Because
the next couple weeks, they get a little packed in here.
Yeah.
So order your crab cakes. You can ship them out of here. They'll even ship them to Annapolis if
you
want. How about that?
Go. How about that?
We don't have to come up here and DoorDash them. The man, the myth, the legend, Jamie Costello is still Costelloing some stories out in the local marketplace. You can check. Where do people find those?
Online, CostelloYourStory.com. How about that? Just find me. I'm all
CostelloYourStory.com.
You got it.
All right. Well, I Costelloed this story,
yeah,
and I'm going to Costello the
Very
story
well.
Of the big Maryland party. Howard Perlow is going to join us a little later on. Rasig is coming by.
Oh, is he?
Well, Rasig lives in the neighborhood.
Okay.
He's my co-host with a K.
Oh, very
when
good.
I'm a co-host.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He's coming by in about an hour, so Rasig will be
good.
Here. I'm worried about Rasig with the Orioles because he's true orange and black.
It's tough.
He's going to come in his little orange
panel
hat.
And I fell for Kyle Gibson last night. Kyle's a great guy, but doggone it,
I'm a great guy, but I can't get any outs. I can't get the Yankees out.
You can give up 4 home runs. Maybe they would have popped up on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, maybe they would have missed.
A ground ball.
Maybe this my changeup, which is all
maybe,
I got.
Yeah,
I only have a changeup.
You didn't know that until you threw it. Yeah, right.
I got one pitch. I got a changeup, you know, and underhanded maybe.
Yeah, right.
He will pitch you Costello Your Story. Make sure you're checking him out. We're back for more. We're Coco's. I'm Nestor. We are the WNST group of fun. I've been trying to get this guy on for a long time, and now you know
that's
why.
Good, man.
I love you, Jamie. You know that.
Love you.
Back for more.